welcome to the Nightbird Radio Podcast. I'm Timothy Saylor, and I'm going to be your host this evening as we sound out the subconscious, navigate the nocturnal, and explore the farthest reaches of our experience, coming at you from the great forest, deep in the heart of the Kali Yuga. This is Radio for the Hauntological Turn. And welcome back, Nightbirds. It's great to have you back, and it's great to be back. Tonight, I am blessed to be joined by three awesome co-hosts, David Payne, Lindsay Stark, and Louis Galindo. We're here to talk about the ongoing Rune Walk. We figured we'd be checking in on this because we're doing a rune every 2 weeks and a Valkyrie every month that's covering two runes. So of the 24 runes of the Elder Futhark, that's going to take us a year, going through 13 Valkyries of the Grimness Maw for 13 lunar months. If you want to join us in that, go to my Patreon. I'm going to put the link in the show notes here. Nightbird Radio Patreon. Become a member. It's only $3 a month. Join our join our Discord. Get exclusive posts. And join us on this rune walk. You can join anytime. If you want to start now, go ahead and start. If you want to start in a year, go ahead and start. Some of us will probably still be doing it. So really excited about it. Really excited to have you guys here. How are y'all doing this evening?
Awesome.
Really good.
Yep, doing good, man.
Awesome. Let's dive into it. Lindsay, do you want to talk real quick overall about the runes in brief? Just kind of give us like a 101 vibe on the runes, you know, and as quickly as you can do something like that. It's a very extensive topic, so it's not like...
Yeah,
can you quickly
yeah.
do a 101 on an ancient system of writing that... encodes thousands of years of information, please?
I mean, I think you just did. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about the runes, and she's sort of asking me to explain what even am the runes. And so, in brief, for framing for this whole rune walk, the runes are an exoteric and an esoteric alphabet. So an exoteric alphabet in the sense that each rune, like in any alphabet, represents, it's a symbol, it represents a letter, a sound, and as in many alphabets, it sort of originated from some kind of a tangible meaning for something that the letter signifies. But then also in an esoteric sense, these symbols sort of flow into a collection of meaning, so things that are downstream from whatever that literal meaning is. And we'll get into some of that with the different runes. And then, of course, each rune is also a tool that can be used magically encoded either for divination, as part of a bind rune, as part of building out charms, all sorts of different things like that. And they're, each one sort of has its own personality to it that you can get to know. And that's been what we've been doing on this walk.
Sweet. Thank you for that. And so we're also including Valkyries in this walk. A little bit about the decision to do that. You know, I don't even really know what kind of led me to that was my kind of touch, my addition to this, because me and David had been talking about doing this for a while, and he had started before any of us doing a rune walk. And my kind of, spice that I brought to it was like, well, I want to incorporate the Valkyries. And I was looking through information on them and, found that there were, I wanted to see if there was a way you could map it out to the runes. My hope was that we could find 24 and do one for each one, but it turns out in the Grimness Maw, Odin lists 13 Valkyries. He's suspended between the flames in the court of a hostile king who he's in disguise. And for 9 days, he's kind of burning between these fires. And on the ninth day, he calls for the Valkyries that they would bring him a cup of mead. And I thought, okay, interesting. So if there's 13, we can map that out, two runes per Valkyrie, and then do the last Valkyrie at the end as kind of a culmination of the whole thing. And it's crazy because it's kind of like, oh, that would be cool, right? But then the more I know in my experience, the more we get into this, the more it's making a lot of sense as to why they would be included, right? Like these winged deliverers of the mead, like the runes, the knowledge of the runes is the mead. And so we're using invocations that are adapted from the sagas and from the Eddas, and kind of stepping into this current. Dave, do you want to do a quick rundown, a summary of how the Runewalk works, what we're doing in terms of structure, all that kind of thing?
The Runewalk kind of came about as a way of trying to put together, a runic initiation. That was something more than just, pull a rune a day and meditate on it. We wanted something, a little more involved, a little more ritualistic. So we kind of looked towards other systems that, anybody who's been in magic for a while has probably heard of doing something like a Deccan walk or a year-long walk with the 72 Shem Angels or a Lunar Mansion walk. So we kind of applied that same idea, but to the runes. And, since we got 24 runes and 12 months, it made sense just to do one every other week. So you're going through two runes a month. And there was a couple of different ways that we could have went about it, but since we don't have any actual like historical method for applying a rune to a super specific set in time, we kind of just decided to just go through it in the normal Futhark order. And so far, even though we're kind of just doing it on the fly that way, and it's been weirdly lining up with all of our lives and our events and things that have been coming up. So I wouldn't be surprised if any order you picked for you individually, like it would somehow end up aligning, because that's what we're finding between all of us.
Yeah, awesome. And then Louis, do you want to just give like a really quick your experience so far? Because I think out of all of us, like you are the one that's been the newest to the runes, and so like you're this has been kind of like your initiation into the runes, and so I'm really interested to hear like how your experience has been, just like jumping into it with this.
Yeah, so I knew nothing about the runes apart from asking you, Tim, to do a rune reading for me regarding the particular matter, right? And you did, and you gave me a bind rune to work with, and that was my very first time working with the runes, knowing anything about the runes. You gave me a quick summary of everything that has been talked of about up until now. And I sort of stumbled upon it because you guys were having this fascinating conversation on the Discord, and I was like, this sounds really cool. And I felt the need to sort of jumpstart my magical life. I've been doing the same sort of praxis for years, and it was feeling a little stale, I'll be honest. So I jumped in, and shit jumped off from Jump Street like right away, man. Things started happening. So I clearly had stumbled upon a really cool a pretty amazing, potent campfire, and I decided to stick around.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to real quick just reinforce into something that we were talking about over text yesterday, Louis. This is like, and it's not, it's at the very least for anyone who speaks a Germanic language. English is a Germanic language. Like, this is your inheritance as like someone who, like, we talk a lot about in magic about the Greek inheritance, but like, this is just as much, if not, possibly more.
And I want to talk about that too, because I felt, part of the reason I never really pursued it was I thought, well, that's closed, right? I don't, that's not my my magical path to tread upon, because it's not, I'm not Nordic or Germanic. So I'll just stick to what I'm doing, right? And then I heard the one of the episodes you guys, the first episode you guys did on it, and you guys were adamant that this is not a guarded, closed practice, that anyone can in fact approach this and work in this system. And so that gave me a sense of relief and a feeling that it was okay to go ahead and try it. That's important. I really, that was an issue at first.
Nice. Yeah. I wanted to reiterate that because it's important. Okay, so on this episode, we're gonna go over the first month of runes and the first Valkyrie, who is Hrist, Hrist, and the two runes are Fehu and Uruz. So we're gonna let's start off talking about Fehu. Kind of sharing our experience with Fehu, our understanding with Fehu, anything we might have known before, anything we learned, how those things might vibe or contrast, you know, like I might, you know, learn new things. Does anyone want to jump in and start?
I mean, I can just sort of again providing the background for folks who are new to the runes and who are curious is Fehu is usually that's the letter F, the F sound, and is usually referred to as meaning cattle, but has the meaning of sort of wealth in the sense that in a traditional culture, your wealth is not the gold that you hoard. It is, the resources that you have, and what better way to represent that than with a herd of cattle.
Yes. Movable wealth, right?
And reproducible wealth.
Yes. I also see Fehu often as like an antler. And I know that, like, you know, reindeer were cattle too at some point, but still are, I think, in a lot of places. But yeah, there's something about, like, I don't know if that's like a traditional interpretation, but it's always deer for me, man. Like, deer will show up. I got like, okay, like when I first blooded my first runes, I did it in downtown Atlanta. I was at like my buddy's house and like house sitting for him, and I was like, hey man, is it cool if I like haunt the shit out of your house? He's like, yeah man, go for it. So I blooded these runes in like his fireplace, like, and it was like around Christmas time, right? And I had just done it. And so I had started kind of doing a rune by rune, maybe like a every day or something. And I was walking down the street, and there was like, you know, those fucking like reindeer antlers that people have, they put on their cars. There was one on the ground that was the exact shape of Fehu. And so for me, that was like ever since. It's like interesting how like city sinks are way different than like country sinks. Like when I did that rune blooding, like I called on the name of Odin, and outside, all these cars started honking. Dope. Anyway, so I'm going off track. Yeah, anyone else's experience with Fehu?
Yeah, so like there's all the normal wealth and cattle associations, but this time I kind of got like a little bit of a new aspect to it than what's come up for me before. And it was almost this like idea of like hype. So it's not just actual like wealth or actual like investment. It was more of like the time and energy you put into something. So it's like that initial push of, okay, that you're going to put energy or you're going to put abundance into this idea. So it kind of went a little bit away from like actual like physical wealth or physical property to more of just like the energy of what you're investing into.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I think with a lot of them so far, we're sort of seeing these ancient ideas being translated into a sort of what is the contemporary signifier for that? No, for me, I had it was very earthy, and Fehu became a tree with this sort of deep, dark soil. It was really connected to the ground and sort of the treasures of the earth and how wealth comes from the soil and this sort of sense of place. It's a really nice chill experience when we journeyed on Fehu. That was sort of, particularly with some of the other runes, I felt like the journeys were a little bit more aggressive, and Fehu was a nice easy one to ease into, of like, I'm just hanging out here laying on this beautiful cool ground, watching this tree grow and knowing that this wealth is coming up from the ground. In my second journey, had a real sense that the gift of Fehu is freedom from fear and freedom from want, and had a lot of, one of the things that's been interesting is how many of us have been having these weird synced up dreams. So also like tons of sex dreams during Fehu time, which was really interesting. I think we all had them, different ones popping up in different ways, which was very very interesting. Like the idea that, I mean, that is also sort of that wealth and abundance and growth and the reproducibility of the cattle imagery. So it was sort of tied into fertility and abundance for me, and that wealth in the ground.
Yeah, well, like what you're saying with like the ancient ideas and the new ideas too, because like my first journey with Fehu, it was all about like clearing the ground and then tilling a plot and then watching it grow and then the harvest and then that becoming the means for building up like a small little city and then building up like a town and then building up like this whole country. And then the second time I did it, it was all about like meme coins and TikTok trends. Like it was seriously like Valkyrie's showing you like, oh, invested in the shit coin, like that's Fehu energy. Like
Hell yeah.
I love
We
it.
should start Fehu Coin.
I it was weird. I had a sort of a sink with finances because I'd gotten a coaching client, right? I do life and career coaching as a side hustle on the side of being a teacher. And I knew I had this incoming client that was going to be a career coaching client. I was going to help her with her career because she was moving into show business, and I know a little bit about that. So it's sort of synced up with this new stream of income that I was receiving, and it just happened to line up about the same time as the kickoff for this new client, which I'm still with. I'm only halfway through the contract with her, but it did sync up with actual money, which I took as a I loved it, right? I was like, yeah, let's have some more. I'll take all this I can get, right? So that was a sync that I never really I don't know, I kind of felt maybe a little weird talking about it. I didn't want to jinx myself, but it was a welcome thing that stuck around. Is still, right? I have 4 more weeks on this contract, so it's going well. It's going great.
Nice. Yeah, I think I had an experience. I remember I was talking about it on the Discord where I was like, I was just not really getting anything with Fehu. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of like getting calibrated in. I'm not seeing a bunch. And then I had this kind of a weird experience when I was going to buy groceries. I was in the parking lot and this woman came up to me and was like, hey, can you help this guy? He's in his van and he's disabled and he like dropped his phone or his wallet or something under the seat and he wants me to reach in, but I'm not comfortable reaching into a stranger's car. Do you think you could do it? I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I went and I helped and it was just simple. I just reached in there and gave him his. It was nothing to me. It was an afterthought to me to be able to do that. And it got me thinking, like, yeah, Behu, it's like not the abundance doesn't have to be monetary. It can be like I have an abundance of security in the fact that I'm like a large man that like I don't think about even having to worry about reaching into someone's car if I have to. Like, but to her, and in that moment, that was abundance, right? And then to that man who wasn't able to reach down under his seat, he has trouble doing something that I take for granted being able to do every day. It's like nothing. I just reach under the seat and get my shit. You know what I mean? And to him in that moment, that was abundance. And so it's funny because I had just been talking about like I'm not really seeing anything. And then I was like, oh, I kind of get slapped in the face with it. Like, it's abundance. Like, what? It's gratitude. Like, what am I able to be grateful for maybe I take for granted, you know, the ability to move, the security that I enjoy. Like, there's a lot. And I was, you know, able to go buy groceries. So that's
Perspective. You got perspective.
perspective. Yeah, for sure. For me in the journey, Fehu was, I saw Audhumbla, the primordial cow, who, if you're not familiar with the story, in the beginning, there's fire and ice, and between them is Gnungagap. These are the primordial forces of fire and ice. And between them, there's a cow named Audhumbla, and she's licks away at the frost and licks free the gods, the ancestors of the gods, right? And they come out of the ice. And so in my journey, I came to a great clearing, a great valley between these large mountain, boulderish mountains. And she was there licking out of the ice, the rune Fehu. And the idea there was that she was slowly, methodically, persistently licking this rune free. It wasn't going to come free immediately. She was going to have to apply kind of sustained action, sustained effort, but eventually it would come free. So I kind of saw it, you know, as it's a very earthy idea, right? Like kind of slowly doing the work, chop wood, carry water kind of thing, lick ice, you know, chop wood,
Yeah.
carry water, lick ice. That's,
It's summer, right?
yeah. Yeah, because it can sometimes feel like a grind, you know? But that perspective is helpful.
I was doing some readings related to Fehu as well. It's interesting how the rune poems, of course, my dog's whining. The rune poems talk a lot about how wealth is a source of discord. And I didn't get any of that in my journeys. I don't know about y'all, and any of that sense of like, this is the sort of the other side of Fehu.
Oh, do you want to read that poem real quick? That'd be
Yeah,
cool. You
I'm
had it,
sure I'll
right?
get some singing in the background. Yeah, so the Norwegian rune poem is, wealth is a source of discord among kinsmen. The wolf lives in the forest. And then the Icelandic rune poem says, wealth, source of discord among kinsmen, and fire of the sea, and path of the serpent. So, fire of the sea is akinning for gold,
Yeah.
and path of the serpent is you know, referring to sort of the Sigurd and Fafnir story.
Yeah.
But you know, wealth, it is a, you know, it is security, but it is also, you know, you just need to have somebody in your family go to know how much discord it can sow as well. Did any of y'all get any of that in your journeys, or was it all just the good side of Fehu? I mean, I guess you got some meme coins.
Yeah, no, I didn't really get any of the, you know, like the negative, like greed or jealousy aspects of it in any of the journeys or stuff. I mean, I think everybody's had like real life experience of that, but no, surprisingly, in all the ritual aspect of it so far, it was all kind of like you were saying earlier, it was like real chill and gentle for the most part. And then even when I had the, you know, the more hype focused one, it was still more about like the excitement of, you know, being pulled into like the, you know, the group think of, oh, all these people are doing it and falling into the hype and like joining the group and like that excitement you feel. It was more like the positives of that.
Yeah, that's definitely the joy and the fun of this work has been definitely in the wealth category for me, right? That's that I asked for, enlivening, enriching, revitalizing my magical life, and that's exactly what I got with this, because it's fun. It's been really rewarding and interesting, and I, because I don't know anything about it, it's really, I feel kind of a childlike excitement about it. I even bought a saw, like to make my own runes with, right? Well, clearly I need a 20 volt cordless DeWalt reciprocating saw. I have
Of
to get one
course.
so I can cut my runes off of this branch. Right. So this has been fun.
Glad to hear it. Sweet. So, anything else? Let's see. Hold on. Before we move on to Urus. I don't think so, right? All right. So the next rune we did, and again, calling the same Valkyrie because we're doing two runes per Valkyrie, calling Hrist again to show us wisdom about this rune, to help us to weave this rune, and calling the Norns to help us weave this rune into our weird. So Urus, David, you want to give us a little quick synopsis of Urus?
Yeah, so Urus, generally refers to, the big long-horned oxen type animal. It's representative of like strength and kind of like health, vitality, like that masculine energy. A lot of times is what it's associated with too. It was really interesting doing Urus for me because that's kind of what I was expecting to get, but instead, all of the journeys that I did and all of my experience through the 2 weeks with it was really about facing and having to like put to rest just a whole lot of different piles of stuff that I've been avoiding the not wanting to do. So Urus was more of like that bullheaded energy of like, no, this is shit you have to take care of. Just like plow through it and get it done and quit being a baby. Like that was the biggest lesson of Urus for me.
Nice.
No. Yeah, I was super busy when Urus kicked off, and it took everything I had to keep all the plates spinning during that time. I remember being like full throttle for, on either side of Urus. It bled into it, and then leaving it. It was very much that you needed to, like that ox, you needed to carry the yoke of what it was you were doing. For me, it was a perfect metaphor for tilling the soil. I was doing a lot of groundwork for my side business. My primary job was very demanding at that time. Home life, all of it. So I needed a bull-like, oxen-like vitality and strength to get through it. So it was very timely for me. Yeah.
Nice.
I work with Urus all the time in the gym, unshockingly. So it was like coming home to a friend. Did work on particularly thinking about how the movement of the body during a deadlift is the shape of the Urus rune and how you can really channel it to move heavy things both, literally and psychically, figuratively, etc.
Yeah, I do. I intone Urus a lot when I'm lifting also. And there's a cool thing you can do where you breathe up through the left side of your body, visualize that first line of Urus, and then breathe down the energy back into the earth. So like you're breathing up from the earth to the shape of the Urus, down the other leg, back into the earth. And if you do this while you're lifting, I find it gives me some extra juice. This is one of those ones where I work with a lot. So it was kind of surprising to me. I actually didn't get a lot. Like my journeys were a little spotty for this one. Like there was a lot of aurochs imagery. And I remember one of them was interesting because it was like these young men being initiated by hunting an aurochs. And then, they finally got one and took the body home to their people. And then it was showing me like everything that they used this animal for, the sinews, the bones, the skin, the meat, the teeth, everything. And so it was like kind of this, it's got a very emotion of dispersal to it, like taking the strength from the earth, it comes through me and then it gets filtered out to the people, right? Like, so again, it's like with this idea of like, because the runes are one of the things that would that Hrist told me in the automatic set writing session that I did with her. I'm doing an automatic writing session at the end of the month with each of the Valkyries that we talk to. One of the things she told me is the runes are taken and the runes are given. So Odin didn't just go get the runes and then say, "See you fuckers. I got them. I'm good." He brought them back from the void and taught us how to use them. Taught us what to do with them. Taught us what they can be utilized for, how they can help us. And so that to me was like a big part of Uruz. It's like, why do we become strong? We become strong so that we can help the people in our lives. We become strong so that we can be live the noblest version of our destiny, of our fate.
Yeah, so a little interesting thing about that is, so you're saying about being strong so that we can then, help, or so we can be with our family, or so we can do these other things. One of the things that happened, I think it was the second night after my first Uruz journey, is I had a dream where there was this, the typical wide-brimmed hat, Gandalf-y Odin figure, said something like, "Did you get the message?" And I remember, like, it didn't seem like that was like meaning something like that, those specific words. Where it was the message. And so when I put that into that Norse cipher thing that we have going on, the value that came out ciphered exactly with the line from the Havamal, which is "An ale feast when man is able," which is kind of like, one, like this whole entire thing we're doing with the Valkyries, but two, that same idea of, okay, celebrating or doing, good things with community or with your family when you're able to. So when you've had the strength, when you've done these things correctly.
Yeah, I like it.
That's good. That's good because I often have to sort of compartmentalize my time. Like I have to go see my mom and I have to go see her because she can't drive through the city. She lives in one of the suburbs. And if she were to drive into the city, it would not be good, right? So I have to go to her and it takes me about an hour to get there. Same with my brother, one of my other, my middle brother. I have to go to him because he's on this medication that makes him dizzy and he shouldn't be driving if it's not just around the block. So making that concerted effort to be with the family, to distribute that, I don't know, be the strength for the family, the connective tissue between family members is something that has always resonated with me. But now that you say that, it makes a lot more sense, and it makes me feel a lot better, a lot better about it.
Yeah, because that stuff can seem like drudgery sometimes when you're sitting in
Absolutely.
traffic, right? But it's like we were talking about this also recently, like, dude, like, we don't hear enough that doing the stuff that you just talked about, like, strengthens our magic.
Merit.
Merit and keeping an oath.
Oh, yeah.
keeping my word too. Like, if I'm going to say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely.
And if I can't, I'm just not going to say I'm going to do it to
Yeah.
the best of my ability. And that's these spirits are, it's very important, it seems to me, that, in my experience. And they also really like to test it. Like, hey, are you really going to
Yeah.
do what you said? Are you worth your salt? Here's an opportunity to fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is blood your word? Right? I mean,
Yeah.
when you make a blood offering, are you making, is that you're giving part of yourself? Is that as meaningful? I mean, is it, I don't know, is there a correlation between that and making an oath? A blood oath, I guess, right? I mean, an offering isn't, what is it? What is it? Is it an oath or is it something, a gift to appease? Is it meeting someone halfway and saying, I'm bringing you this so because I'm serious about making a connection with you? I've been thinking about that since you and I, Tim, have been talking about words and personal integrity and blooding, the blood ritual, the blooding of the runes got me to thinking about what's the difference? Maybe I'm not making any sense.
No, you're making good sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, so much of the journey, this whole rune experience has been about blood for me. Urus is really where that started cropping up in my first Urus journey. It was the first one that just became very, very blood focused, and they've sort of been, it's been a rhyming with the different runes throughout the experience. And I think with it being the 13 The 13 lunar months, connected to blood in a different sort of way. I think there's an initiation into the feminine mysteries here too. That's really cool with 13 Valkyries.
It's funny, like you go to my runes and like the first one is just like a little red dot of blood. And they keep getting progressively bigger and like now they look like a mini Rorschach that covers the entire like the face of the rune is like almost entirely red, whereas at the beginning it was just like a pinprick. Yeah. Getting more bloody as we go.
Yeah, I like that. I like that talking about the blooding of the runes. Is it an offering or is it a sacrifice or is it an oath? And I mean, it's kind of it's all of it. I mean, it is a sacrifice. It's an offering. You're giving up some of your life force, but it's also an oath because it's pronouncing that I believe in this so much that I will bleed for it, and that's
Yeah.
an oath. That I will defend this. I will honor this. It's something worth bleeding or dying to for me.
Yeah, and someone who speaks with a sword, right, is that's their language, I guess.
Well, and also it makes me think about, there's a lot in the Havamal about this stuff too, about generosity, giving, being fearless with your giving. And one of the, I think I've mentioned this before probably, but one of the kennings for a king is ring giver. And that's one of the functions that a king performs is to distribute wealth to the lords or the carls or whatever below him, right? To the members of his household. And if you didn't do that, they'd fucking kill you, man. They'd burn you up. Like they'd he's like, this guy's not paying up. And so it's like this interesting thing where sacral kingship is merit based and it's not just something you get from being born lucky, right? From being born in a high palace. Like you have to actually like take these actions to continually be worthy of it. You have to be worthy of your people. And rings are also a sign of an oath. Like when you'd give a ring, an arm ring, you also swear an oath on that. So Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. And then also, there's this idea of, yeah, I don't know if I want to get into this whole tangent, but.
Well, I think about it in a way, sort of piggybacking off what you're saying. It's when your actions and your words line up, right? The letting of blood is an action, and that the prayer to the Norns and the invocations of the Valkyries is words. So you're putting your money where your mouth is. Your words become action. They line up with the action, and they become real. They become powerful.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we've talked about this before, Timothy, about the definition of power being the velocity with which your thoughts become reality. To me, that those things go hand in hand, right? It seems to make sense that if you're putting your money where your mouth is, you're walking the walk, you're allowed to talk the talk if you walk the walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's also like really street. That's some street shit too,
Yeah,
right?
man.
It
Yeah.
really is. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about on one of these episodes about some of the concepts like Orlog and Hamingya. Like, do you have different sort of like streams of destiny in this tradition? And they're also like parts of your soul. It's really interesting stuff. We won't necessarily get into that today. I don't think we have time. But yeah, put your Orlog where your Hamingya is. You know? Cool. So does that bring us to the Valkyries? Does that, because
Think
we're,
one thing I want to touch on with Urus,
yeah,
you know, and
please.
it the is also this idea of sort of the primal spark to get as well, which is really interesting. Like there's a creative and generative feel from it. I remember my second journey with Urus was this really beautiful experience of being at the journey battlefield that I go to a lot, with just this herd of aurochs circling the standing stones, and the hoofbeats and then the drums from the journey track all kind of melded together. And I was dancing there with others who I couldn't see but could feel. And then we had this massive storm and the rain mixed with the mud. And there was like thunder and volcanoes, and it was all of this raw primal energy of the universe all collecting together. And it's I think there's Urus is such a great tool for that as well. Like anything that you want to initiate and put like that burst into, it's just so super useful. And so I seem to recall in Call of the Runes, he's like, there's not really any charms, extant charms we found that use Urus, but it seems like such an easy win for like, you just need, it's like the monster of the rune world, you
Yeah.
know?
And Freya Aswyn in Leaves of Yggdrasil has it as a healing rune too, like the main healing rune actually,
Oh,
which makes
absolutely.
good sense too, to
Yeah,
come.
it's very physical embodied for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I say something about that? I'm going off of like I'm off of how things feel and what I feel called to do with each rune. And what I've been doing with them is sort of before I journey with them, I launch them like a sigil, right? I
nice.
just stare at them and try to
Cool.
ingest them, and it's like watch them sort of hover above me and sort of sink into the top of my head and into my body so that I can embody them somehow, or they can be a part of me. That's what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing, but
I think you do.
that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
You can drink them too. You could, dude, you can
Yeah.
actually draw it on a cup of water and drink the
Yeah.
water. Like,
It's like hoodoo, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
There's so much you can do, man. Like it's really the limit is your imagination.
Yeah, one of you guys were talking about using the shavings from the runes you were making and put them into mead. That's amazing. That's so cool.
I like the idea of launching them like sigils too, because I mean, same idea, right?
Right.
It's a symbol that encodes like a vast amount of information in a very simple form.
Heavily freighted with meaning.
Yeah. And the fact, like, the there's like a hieroglyphic kind of aspect too, right? Where like you're able to have like multiple meanings to it because it's sort of abstract. But also an image, right? Like an image of something, and it represents something. Like, there's just so much to it. Okay, let's see. Anything else on Urus before we move on? Cool. So next, let's talk about Valkyrie Hrist. Now, I want to go into this a little bit before we. Before we jump into here, because this is the part that's really ex like it's all exciting to me, but this I'm very excited about because there's just not a lot of information out there about these spirits. Like there may be people like us that have done things like this, and there's that kind of information out there, right? But as far as the writing goes, as far as the extant sources, you've got the sagas and you've got the Eddas, and they're mentioned some, and the lists aren't always the same, and they're not even mentioned a whole lot, right? So like this is just a really ripe place for like learning, co-creating, experiencing these spirits that, I think a lot of people have worked with Valkyries. And like I said, I'm sure there's plenty of people on the internet that you could go and find it, but I don't know much about it. And so this, I'm like, Louis, like what you're talking about, like I'm experiencing that with the Valkyries now. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just feeling it. I'm just re doing some research. I'm looking it up. Crazy things are lining up. I'm calling them up. Talking to them, and they're telling me shit that's like, oh my gosh. Because I don't know. It's just they're very accessible and they want to be called. So let's talk about. So again, these are the 13 Valkyries of the Grimness Maw. You can look it up. You can read it. It's a quick read. It's short. It's basically just the Grimness Maw itself is just an account, like it doesn't even hardly tell the story of what happens. It's mainly just Odin's monologue as he says, "Hey fucker, guess who I am?" to this guy that's like burning him. And he just lists, he goes through and names everything in the cosmology that we're talking about. Everything in like the Norse cosmology, right? Like he goes through the halls of the gods and he goes through, and there's a line in the Havamal that I got stuck on the other day where he talks about like it's one of the charms that Odin knows is he's a 14th I know where let me read it actually. I'm gonna read it right now. I've got it. He says it's stanza 160. A 14th I know, if fain I would name to men the mighty gods. All know I well of the gods and elves. Few be fools who know this. Oh, few be the fools know this. So, basically, this is where he's telling a list of charms that he knows, of magic songs. And this one is just naming the spirits. That in itself is a spell. That in itself is a magical charm. And so in Grimness Maw, he's doing that. He is listing out the spirits. And one of the things that he lists out are these 13 Valkyries. So just by naming them, just by calling them, we have access to them. So the first Valkyrie on our list is Hrist, which means something like earthquake, quaker, shaker. What were our experiences with her?
Well, one interesting sync that I had with her was both the morning after the first invocation of her and the morning after the last invocation of her. My area had two small, like 4.5 earthquakes the very next morning. So that was pretty,
What?
yeah.
Sick, dude.
Oh my God.
Which I mean, I live in the Bay Area, so it's not uncommon to like have earthquakes, but it was still really good timing.
These things speak in the language of what's around us. So that makes it's like she had earthquakes to work with. Of course, she's going to do that.
Yeah.
Like it's her favorite.
Yeah, I started late and I jumped in and I did, the prayer to the Norns, and then I did what you guys were doing, that you gave me the prayer, the invocation and Valkyries, and I did it and I went to sleep that night, and I had been having weird dreams, and I had like a really intense Christ dream. I was walking through this shopping center, like a mall kind of, and this very large woman with brown hair, with a fierce looking face, like she was off in the distance fighting several people. And I got closer and closer, and she turned, and she saw me, and she walked up and she like put a fucking blade to my throat. And she says, "Do you have brothers? Are you one that has brothers? You look like one who has brothers." And she cut me. And I wasn't scared in my dream. It was very strange. And I could feel like blood sort of running down my neck. And then these security guards jumped on her back and they fought and they fell in this giant pit. The floor of the mall opened up and they crashed through it. And they were down in this void struggling. I could hear them, but it was like, and I woke up and said, like, okay, I'm definitely into this. If this is like, let me check in with the guys on Discord and see what they think about this. But this really felt like a spirit dream. And pretty much all of you were like, yeah, I don't even think you need to pull cards for that, man. That's probably,
Pretty straight up,
yeah.
like just muscle mommies showing up, fighting folks.
Yeah. She was bad, man. Like a professional, like a WWE wrestler type woman. I would have lost that battle easily. It was fierce.
The cutting is interesting, dude, because I think you had another dream too that was similar. Your dreams have been on fire during this, dude. Like,
Oh
they've been really good. And like, you'll come on and say them, and I'm like, dude, that is like spot on, like on point for the vibes.
yeah.
There's a thing that I've experienced with Odin where like he'll stab you. In like a dream or in a journey, like not like fucking real, you know what I mean? Like you don't even have to go to the hospital or anything, but like the imagery of like the cut, the stab, like is kind of a similar thing to where like other kind of spirits and journeys will like put something in you. They'll like put a light in you or a gem in you, or they'll give you something like these spirits, and again, it's the blood stuff, but it's also like intermingling into your weird, into your field. And it's sort of like a way of like It's penetrating into your being
It's
and
sexual.
mingling together. It's
Yeah.
sexual, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she stabbed me with her big blade.
Yeah. And drew
And
that blood.
I didn't mind.
Yeah. And it was cool, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to. I've had some dreams. I'll have to look them up because I don't have any on top of my head.
I'm going to go back and look at mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, not directly history related, but what you were talking about with the 14th Havamal charm, about just knowing these things' names and like knowing the right words as being a spell in itself. It's like that's very PGM like, where
Yeah.
you have these long list of spells that are like, you should listen to me because I know these secret names and I know this place and I know this other guy. It's basically like showing your cred to the spirits that, I'm somebody that you should listen to and should take attention because I know all these things. Like, then that's another form of showing dedication and almost like an oath in itself too, that, I've put in the time.
Yeah,
Yeah.
totally. Speaking of that, I did the Headless Rite Saturday night, and it had never been as like I had visceral feeling of energy and stuff. So I think like coursing through my body. And it reminds me that all the other magics that I've been doing have had an uptick in power, I can feel them more. I can feel subtle energy a lot more. And I don't know if this is because of this work that we're doing, but it certainly has happened at the same time. And
Yeah.
it's undeniable, unmistakable, whether I'm doing Hecate stuff or the Headless Rite, or I'm doing some other angel stuff that I'm also working on pretty much daily. Everything has had an uptick in feeling, in energy, in pulse. I mentioned it on the Discord that I could sort of feel subtle energies a lot more since we started. Is anyone else experiencing anything like that? I don't know if they're similar. I mean, that they correlate, but it certainly feels like they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this has been just even over this time frame, the most potent magical time period of my life in terms of just everything feeling amped up, everything feeling more symbolic, feeling more in tune, feeling more like profoundly psychic
Hell yeah.
in a way has been really really interesting. And these are spirits and concepts I've been working with, for like 20 years, but it's a very feels like we're doing some sort of big, great work. Especially, I think the collective aspect of it. It's like that we're it's greater than the sum of its parts. I suspect that's a piece of it as well.
I heard you guys talking on one of the other episodes, like the Valkyries and these other spirits that they want to be connected with. They want to be sought out. They want to have communication. It's definitely feels that way for me, right off the bat.
I think it's very much something coming back. And it's like we were like, well, is it ever gone? It's like, well, if people weren't calling, there certainly wasn't as much of it as there could be, Like,
Yeah.
does anything ever really leave? I don't know. But like, the more we call, the more we kind of help bring that energy into our, again, into our web.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll read some of my automatic writing I did with Hrist, about what she said about some of the runes. I said, "What can you tell me about Urus and Fehu that will help me understand?" She said, "Fehu dances, Urus charges. See the bright bull, see the horn of many colors, see the strength that comes from having, the having that comes from strength. Yes, the having is abundance, the having that fears not the giving. The runes are taken, the runes are given. This is the weaving. This is the flow of them, in and out like a breath, like a breathing." There's very much like a weaving aspect to this, like a, it's another thing, dude, where like I'm getting a lot of stuff that's like the connection between Valkyries and Nords is very fascinating to me. And there's some stuff I'll share on the next one of these because I'm, you know, in order, but like yeah, any thoughts there?
Just one thing that clicked in is a or I remember when you posted about one of the things you got in your automatic writing session was the horn of many colors. And that same night, I had
Yeah.
done an Uruz journey where I saw like a mead horn, like an an aurochs horn as a mead horn, like overflowing with like the mead of poetry. And as it was coming off, it was like splitting off into these like prismatic like Bifrost colors. And it was like the very next morning when I woke up, I was getting ready to type that. And then you had posted your automatic writing session. I was like, dude, like the exact same thing almost.
Yeah, I love that stuff, dude. And that
Wow.
stuff's been happening. There's been so much of that that like we're probably not even like hitting it all, because it's been like pretty synced up.
Yeah, I was thinking about how multiple folks got owl, like owl imagery for Hrist, this sort of,
Yes.
owl mask or owl helmet.
Yeah, what's some other imagery? I'm looking at, we have a spreadsheet here. Deep dark soil.
Yeah.
Storms.
Yeah, I mean, I
I
think storms for all of them.
yeah.
We found a dead hawk in front of our house.
Really?
But I thought that was my wife's message and not
Yeah. Did you harvest some of that materia, bro?
mine. Got some feathers, and
Yeah.
we took the took the hawk to the bayou and gave her to the bayou.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there's a lot of hawk stuff in this.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a, is the eagle have a hawk on its forehead, or does the hawk have an eagle on its forehead? I can never remember, dude. So on top of Yggdrasil,
Yeah, it's eagle with a hawk,
there's
right?
an eagle. With yeah, it's, I think so, but if we're wrong, whatever. It's one of these. There's an eagle with a hawk that sits on its third eye.
Yeah.
And you know, again, like as everything, it's like that's there's, you know, the theory that that's Odin, but it's like, you know, who ain't he? You know what I mean?
I live in the hood, so what if I see like a rat and a pigeon
Yeah.
playing frisbee with a bottle cap?
That would be Ratatosk communicating with the eagle on the top of the tree, because he runs back and forth and talks shit. So like there's Nidhogg, which is a serpent who gnaws at the tree's roots, and then there's the eagle and hawk at the top, and there's a squirrel named Ratatosk that runs up and down the world tree talking, like delivering shit talk between the two of them.
Wow.
Like, hey, he said this about you. Like, straight up. That's a squirrel, though. Like, that's very squirrelish behavior. They
Yeah.
be talking shit, man. But talk to a squirrel. They got a lot to say.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
They're chatty. Oh man, that's funny.
So, any more about Hrist? There's been a lot of general, like, interesting Valkyrie stuff too. Like, one of the things I'm also doing is asking the Valkyries for, and you know, if anyone listens to this podcast, like, they know my interest in like being given names by spirits. They have names for us that they can tell us that reveal to us about ourselves things that we may not be readily that may not be readily visible to us. They can see parts of our soul that we may have hidden long ago that want to come out. They know things about our past lives, about, just all kinds of things that there's just amazing practice. Ask a spirit to give you a name or to tell you one of your true names and just be amazed. And so there is a story in the sagas of Svafa and Helgi. And Helgi was unnamed, a young man. I think he's a prince of some kind, but didn't have a name yet. He's maybe, a younger son or something, right? And he not renowned. And he was laying on top of a burial mound, and he looked up into the sky and he saw Valkyries flying by in the sky. And one of the Valkyries caught his eye, and that was Svafa. And he, I don't know, he called out to her. They started chatting, right? And she gave him the name Helgi, which means holy one. And then, and in that naming, it also aligned him with a higher destiny, a higher fate. And he became a renowned hero. And then many people were named after him. And in the sagas, there are other characters named Helgi that are like born down the line. They're like reincarnations of him. And they interact with reincarnations of Svafa. So they reincarnate over and over again to go on these adventures, right? And so I've been asking the Valkyries for names because there's precedent in the sagas that we can ask the Valkyries for names that align us with our higher destiny. And so that's been something I'm doing too. So I recommend everyone do that as well if you're interested.
Speaking of that, can I ask how you, if you're willing to talk about it, that is, the order of things you do when you do this practice, when you start, how you end,
Oh
would
yeah,
any.
that's a good idea to talk about. Yeah.
I started with the prayer for the Norns and then move into the Valkyries. And sometimes I feel the need to journey and then I journey there. And then close with, I light a white candle. I have the rune there in my hand. I sometimes put it also on paper and put it behind my candle. And I have a glass of rum that I change every week. That I refresh every week. That's what I do.
Yeah, I've been similarly starting with the chant to the Norns, then to the Valkyrie, and then beforehand I light a candle, and I've been giving milk or buttermilk or dairy products seem to be really the thing, and then put blood, my own blood in there, whether it's blood from my hand or from other parts. That I have access to. And
We're not squeamish here.
yeah, this has been a big menstrual blood journey for me. And actually drawing the rune in the blood on the surface of the milk. And then intoning the rune 9 times and then going into a journey. And the journeys have usually been pretty lit. And then also putting the rune under my pillow at night for any dreams for the 2 week period.
And using the staves that David has been making that are super dope.
Oh yeah, the staves too. Been
Yeah.
drawing those and putting those up and putting blood on the stave as well as an offering.
You guys have been making your own copies of David's staves.
Yeah, drawing them out. We draw them out on a big ass post-it note. Like they're post-it notes the size of like a
Yeah,
human.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a sticky,
Yes, you just hang them up.
just like a post-it note, except the size of a movie
A
poster.
poster. Yeah. And I've just been doing that and hanging them up. Yeah, there you go.
Oh yeah, Man, that's awesome.
And those are really good. Just,
Wow.
it's like having the sigil of the angel you're calling, dude.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I've been doing pretty much the similar thing as I start off with the Norns, but part of what I do, it's just all like UPG stuff that I've just had from working with the Norns for a while, is I actually arrange in a triangle a white candle, a red candle, and a black candle. And I do the call for each of them in order. But what I do is before I light the candle, I actually prick my finger and put a drop of blood on the wick, say the prayer to the individual Norn, and then light it, do the same thing to all the rest of the
Oh,
three.
so you do the Norn call 3 times, once for each Norn?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and then so each one gets their own, blood drop on the candle, then light
Yeah, I might have
their
to fuck with
individual
that.
prayer, and then the whole thing kind of wraps up their prayer at the end. And then I intone the rune 9 times, and then I will have the stave sigil of the Valkyrie that we're working for, and I'll do the call to that Valkyrie. And I've either been doing a little cup of mead, or when I didn't have mead, just honey water, just mixing honey and water. And then I have a set of mala beads that I actually use. I'll just start like Galdr style, like intoning that rune over and over and over, while visualizing the Norns actually doing this like circular pattern around me of one's pulling out the thread, one's measuring it, and one's cutting it and weaving it. And I'm visualizing this going around me the entire time. And as it's building up energy, it's actually like creating like space for the Valkyrie to like emanate within front of me. So it turns it's weirdly turning into this like whole like pseudo tantric practice for me. And what's weird is it's like Pokemon collecting, because with each additional Valkyrie that we do, the other ones are like appearing like in the
Yeah.
space around me.
Hell
So eventually
yeah.
I'm gonna have like 13 Valkyries and the
Dude.
Norns, and like,
Wow.
Dude, that's awesome.
That is
That's
cool.
really cool. I'm gonna have to like really borrow some of that. Also, the Pokemon thing is interesting because in the journey space I go to, like I start off on a on a mound. Like I'm Helgi, laying down on the mound, looking up at the sky until they fly by. And so this mound that I go to in journey space has 13 plinths. And each Valkyrie we talk to, I get a different statue. So it's like I'm building this imaginal space. Sick. That's really good, though, dude.
Yeah, I gotta up my game here, man. This is amazing.
They show you, dude. It's the cool thing. It's like, dude, what are we going to be doing by the end of this year? It may be completely different than what it looked like when we started. You know, we're kind of adding, we're building, it's co-creation. We're doing this with the spirits and we're going where they're leading. Like at first it was like seemed like a lark. Like, oh, this might be something cool to do. Yeah, let's do this. Oh yeah, let's add this. Let's here throw this into the soup. And now almost what, like 2.5 months in, like it seems like you said like earlier, like did we uncover like the great work that we're doing? Like just stumble into the great work. Like I feel like okay, so for us, it was like, oh, yeah, cool, let's do this. And the spirits were like, finally, you fuckers, get together and do it. Like, we've been setting things up to make this happen. It's just really cool.
Yeah, and we've like off and on like mentioned like something like a rune walk to each other for like probably 3 years now.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is great. I'm excited to continue on this. And keep talking about it. Again, I want to invite anyone who got anything out of this conversation to join us, try it out. Anything else about Hrist before we close here? I think we covered some good stuff there.
Definitely.
I just look forward to the next one and talking about Myst and the delights we had with Ursas
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Anzus.
Thorny.
When your name is like the Mist of Battle, like, I mean, these are not like, the thing is, they're real sweet, but they're very rough. Like, you know, it's interesting. It's like they, but they will bend down and kiss your forehead, you know? But they're
Yeah.
badasses. Like, they're
But
fucking legends.
yeah, they're all Louis' dream muscle mommy.
Dr. Freud,
Exactly.
aging Dr. Freud.
Well, hell yeah. So next one we do will be Myst, Thurisaz, and Anzus. Again, check out the Nightbird Patreon if you want to join up with us. It's easy to do. Get on there, jump on the Discord, and just jump on in with us. Thank you guys so much for coming. It's been great talking about this, and I'm having a blast doing it, and I look forward to it.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so
Right
much.
on.
Definitely.
Y'all have a
Take
good
it
one.
easy.
Peace.